There's only one good. His name is Jesus. But God wants us to see this tonight. He wants you to see. I believe that some of you won't get free from the person that you hate, self-hate, that's in your basement until you get rid of the enabling thing. So you see that that is just me covering up my own anger, my own desire to control. I never saw it that way, but that is what sits in front of that. That's why that other person can make you go off and everybody's shocked that you would yell. You passive aggressive thing, you. It's kind of like this. All the anger stuff comes, you open the door to the basement, you throw it down there and you shut the door. I'm the good one, I'm the good one, I'm the good one. I'm nice, I'm sweet, everybody likes me. And then that control thing gets at you and gets at you and gets at you. And for a while, it's called submission. And for a while, it's like, oh, it's okay. Oh, they're probably right. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, let me make peace. Oh, honey, I won't do it again. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I believe you. You won't ever do drugs again. Oh, you are a wonderful husband. Oh, you're great. Oh, you lied to me. Oh, you keep lying to me. Oh, I'm so tired of it. Yeah. Oh, oh, God, I'll take you back. I'm so sorry. I do believe you. I'm so sorry I screamed at you. Oh, please. I know he won't tell anybody I screamed at him. You won't tell him I screamed at you, would you, honey? Oh, do you like dinner this way? Oh, let me do what you want. Why do you do this to the kids, too? So, we like to get rid of this, which for those listening on tape, is the enabling spirit. And we like to get rid of, for those who've gone through the teaching and already know that there's that angry, hurt person hidden that you know you don't agree with anymore. You've done the altar calls. You've broke the power of it. You know you don't want it. You know it's not you. You no longer associate yourself as being like that. You know who you are in Christ. You don't have to hide it. You realize it's been there. You know it's not your identity and you're ready to kick it out. We can do that too. If you're on this side of it, and you're really sick and tired of being a controlling, trying to be king, trying to make other people make you think you're okay. I'm going to give you examples. Is that okay, Wade? Okay. Listen, his is extreme, okay? His is one of the most extreme. Thank God there wasn't a violent spirit. Thank God, because he's a big guy. He's lost 150 pounds in a year because of Inner Healing Deliverance. And sign up for that conference. But I'm telling you, I'd be gone. Negative some weight. But he... Wade had some very hurtful things happen. We won't get into all the details, but things where his parents really let him down. Very enabling mother, father into some sin issues, very judgmental, all this kind of stuff. Very critical father, all these kind of things. And so basically it got to this, especially after he got saved. He's been doing drugs since he was, what, 14 years old? 12 years old. Did the whole nine yards. Sell him everything you can think of, every kind of drug possible, and then some. Shooting up his pain medications. I mean, we're talking desperate, okay? Now, the addiction was bad, okay? So when God has got him free, and we're going to keep him free, and God's going to keep working this thing out. We saw a few other friendly faces today of defender of the drug addict. That one's been having a good time having a great time talking to Carrie. This is the, you just hate me. So he was really strong this afternoon. Anyway, he was mean, too. That one likes to cuss. We need to get the cussing spirit out. What would happen? Here's what's going on. First rebellion, all this kind of thing. Let me tell you a classic thing to say to this defender spirit, just so you know. The thing the defender of the drug addict does, and Carrie could probably preach this much better than me, it says things such as, well, don't you think they ought to use marijuana for pain relief? Oh, well, don't you think, what's wrong? You know, people take prescription drugs and they get a high. And so you want me not to have my high? Okay. And God made drug, you know, are you saying all medicines are bad? Why don't you throw away your aspirin? Let me tell you what God gave me today that finally broke through. Because Wade had the worst one of these in probably all history. Donna was laughing because she's over there doing the accounting. And all of a sudden we're talking, and all of a sudden the defender of the drug addict comes to the surface. And like, it's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And because I've never done drugs and because I almost don't even take aspirin, and I did used to have migraines and God delivered me of that, and I never did the medication thing because I never felt led to. I really felt like it was spiritual and God would help me get free. So there is some credibility that Wade had, the person Wade towards talking to me, because he knew he couldn't, that thing could not throw it in my face. Well, don't you do this. Okay, because I've never done drugs. I've never smoked a cigarette. Okay, it's not my thing at all. Thank you, God. God kept me. All right? And I didn't even take Tylenol 3. I took it twice, kind of thought I wanted it again, and realized I don't want anything that I think I want. I just would rather soon God get rid of my headaches. So anyway, that's why there was some respectability there that could smack this thing upside the head and get the real way to the surface. But here's what God finally gave me wisdom to say to all of that. If you do drugs to get high, if you aren't trying to get high, but you begin to recognize you're getting high and something in you wants that high, a high is a counterfeit anointing. And to get that counterfeit anointing, you have to become intimate with the enemy. Just like to get the true anointing, you become intimate with the Lord. He becomes your friend. He fills you. Your thoughts are focused on him. You begin to spend time with him. You fellowship with him. You have this awesome time. Well, to get a counterfeit high, which is a counterfeit anointing, you have to spend time, more and more time. It takes more and more to get that same high. You begin to get addicted to that presence of a buzz, of a high. And pretty soon it totally takes over, just like the Holy Spirit takes over as we allow him. This demonic spirit of false worship takes over. And with Wade, it took him to the Grateful Dead. It took him through. And he burst out crying when we were talking about dancing at the feet of the cross, laughing at what Jesus went through, thinking he was so much smarter than God. Like, you know, you died for us. We don't want you. We want the high that we get doing drugs. And that whole druggy, rebellious, nasty, seared conscious thing. So, medication that does not cause you to seek a high cannot do the same thing as prescription medication or street drugs that cause you to need the next high. You should not need medication to keep going. You should not need medication to sleep. You should not need medication to do the things that God wants to do, because you're going to begin to crave that. And whether you know it, it's false worship. Okay? I've never done a teaching quite this detailed for substance abuse counselors and all to give out, but this is one of them, because it tears the whole scheme apart. So what happens with all these different spirits going on? Wade wanted to be the center of his universe. He had rebellion from way back. He's done all these things. He crashed with it. That's why he got saved. God began to deliver him, but he never ever wanted to come off the throne. He just didn't want the drugs anymore. He didn't want the bad effects from the drugs. And so he began to believe. His belief for all those years was, as long as I have a job, then I'm not really a drug addict. And then this lie of this defender, this drug addict offender, what it would say is, you can handle it, Wade. You know, you're different than everybody else. You can handle this. You can handle the high. You know, it doesn't really hurt anything. Yeah, some of those wimpy people, you know, they overdose. They don't know what they're doing. But you, and how can anybody call you a drug addict? You've got a job. You're not hurting anybody. But then he gets a wife. Oh, as long as my wife knows that I'm okay, then I'm not really a drug addict. So as long as I have my wife and my job, I'm okay. I remember talking to Wade a few weeks ago. I said, if you gotta lose your job and get rid of that idolatry, then good. I hope God takes it quick. Well, that took about 2 weeks. Thank God nobody died. 4 car accidents. Thank God nobody died. Power of prayer. You'd be in jail. Not to mention all the guilt we'd have to help you get through. And then that's gone. So all I got left, and barely, is my wife. But as long as I have a wife, this is the defender. As long as you have a wife, then you're okay. Lisa wouldn't live with a real drug addict.
You've got to let her know about the pains, that these are prescription pills, that this is okay. The few things you do on the side, that's not a big deal. And this is what's going on. So this demon in him has to keep that enabling thing in her saying, you're right, you've changed, you're right, it's okay, you're right, it's all going to be all right. Oh, I love you so much, oh, blah, 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 blah. Till it makes her hate because she's been lied to, just like she was lied to by the uncle. And she's been treated wrong and everything's been blamed. Everything was called her fault. It was her fault that he had perversion. It was her, you know. And so all this is coming up. And what you basically see is a false relationship based on she needs to be the good one. She needs to be the savior. She needs to make sure, and the comforter, the Holy Spirit kind of thing. She's like the false Holy Spirit for his Godhead. So as long as she empowers him to think he's okay, then he doesn't have to deal with the truth. But as long as she's being the Holy Spirit, then she gets to nurture control, but make it look nice. Ugh. And that's basically what it is. I mean, I'm sure there's other facets to it. I'm sure there's other things, but I really want you to see this. How many people see this? It can be in other areas too. It doesn't have to just be addiction. It can be in any area where you allow the control in someone else to cause you to be the poor one who's always getting hurt, to cause you to in some way subtly control them and their destiny. It's not up to Lisa if Wade's in that house or not. It's up to God. It's not up to me. It's not up to counselors. It's not up to her friends. It's not up to her parents. We can tell her biblically what we see going on. We can pray for her. We can support her if she chooses to kick him out for a season or whatever. But we can't tell her what to do because only God's the giver of grace. Now, when I see that somebody doesn't have grace, I'll help them see that they don't have grace because it's a really dangerous place to be without grace. And then we'll try to minister to them in a way that they can be strong enough to have grace and keep the marriage together while we keep believing. But those are all things that come along that the Holy Spirit has to lead you in, okay? And God just restored her joy. I mean, it was supernatural and instant on the beach. You know, you ever want to have a fun deliverance, get delivered on the beach and then fall out in the water and then watch everybody look at you and, you know, and have this awesome time. We went right from the beach back to here and just kept on going till late in the morning. If you're an enabler, and maybe your mother or your father were enablers, and you actually thought that was love, then this gets really difficult. Because you're asking me not to love my husband, or you're asking me not to love my children. You're asking me not to love my parents. Do you see what I'm saying? Many times, enablers think, and they probably had some enablers in their life, they think that this, it's really manipulation, it's really control, it's really unconditional love. So basically, an example, I do what my husband wants, who has control, and he hugs me, and he loves me, he tells me how wonderful I am, you know, he wants to be intimate with me, everything's great because I do what he wants. And I see that as him giving me love because I forgave him, or him giving me love because I look the other way with what he's doing. Could you understand this? Example with a child. A child cuts a fit, throws things, screams and yells, calls you names because you took something away from them. So you take and give this thing back to them. And then they hug you and they say, oh, you're so wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, I do love you so much. Now they're thinking, wow, when I enable them to keep demons, then I'm loving them because I get a response back that makes me feel like I'm okay. I know this is a lot. You know what? Because Satan has made everybody such dysfunctional messes that no wonder the marriage rate in the church is 50%. When you start unraveling the schemes of the enemy, you begin to wonder how any of us make it. The cool thing is we've already got a Savior who set us free. We've already got a Savior who's defeated the enemy. We just got to get out of this spiral of darkness and confusion and control and surrender to God. It's really not that difficult. If you could do a complete surrender, you will have complete freedom. And I just give scenarios in a way to help you see areas that you need to surrender in. Okay? Let me just say, what is real love? Okay? Real love, first of all, is based on your relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. Real love cannot even come out of you unless God's filled you up with it. So true love is based on your relationship with God, which means very few people have real love in operation in relationships, even relationships that you think are good. They just have a different form of dysfunction. Now, real love to the child scenario. Child, you take something away. Maybe you're led of the Spirit to take it away. Maybe you just missed it. Whatever. That kid goes off. I hate you. I hate you. You're so stupid. You're so ugly. I can never trust you. Ah! Okay, if that pushes a button in you to say, you're so bad. You're so mean. You're so horrible. He's right. Then Satan's going to start making you think, well, if I just give him that back, he'll forgive me. And he'll be okay. And then you do that. And he loves you and you're wonderful. You're reinforcing the concept that love is based on what you do instead of love being based on that you're my child and I love you unconditionally and I'm your mother and you're going to honor and respect me no matter what. And what you're actually doing is you're feeding that devil of control and manipulation and making that child from early age think, oh, if I want mom to love me, all I have to do is scream and yell and cuss at her and she'll love me. But then when he screams and yells and cusses, he's in the same cycle of knowing that's wrong and hating that thing in him that does that. And you're setting him up to do it in his marriage. You're setting him up to do it in his other relationships. Now, what's godly parenting led by the Spirit of God? The Bible says, honor your mother and father and you'll have long life. So my concern led of the Spirit is that this child honors me even if I make a mistake, even if I'm not perfect, even if I don't do everything right. Their honoring me has nothing to do with if I make every decision right. Their honoring me is a commandment from God for their own well-being. So what can I do to make sure that they understand that not honoring me is not pleasing to God? And it also is the enemy setting them up to be rebellious. And the Holy Spirit has to lead you. I can't give you a book on here's exactly what you do. But just some examples, you wait till they have their whole mess and this and that and the other. And then when things are calm, you go back in and you say, that's not acceptable behavior. And the Bible's told me I have to train you up. So because you did these things, I understand your disappointment. But because you chose to react with disappointment, with cursing, yelling, screaming, and dishonoring me, this is the result of that. Now, I want you to read these Bible scripture verses on what God says about this so you know that I'm not just doing a power struggle here. There is no power struggle. I'm the parent. What's there to struggle about? I just want you to know what God says about this, and we're going to pray about this. I'm not praying with you. You know what? This isn't about you. God, I take authority over this right now, and Lord, I ask you to heal my son. And you put your arms up. No, God, you just heal him right now. And if you really start moving the Holy Spirit, God will show you Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus will come right in there. And you'll begin to speak Jesus right into that child's heart. And that child will burst out crying in your arms, hugging you and getting healed. And then you still carry out the consequences when they're young. So that they'll have that reminder that every time they cut a fit, they don't just get an inner healing and a hug from mom. Okay? God's got to lead all this. But what you said, what if I don't hear God? Then be biblical, get godly counsel, and make sure you bring God in and change the heart. Control tries to change behavior, but doesn't touch the heart. Rebellion is still there. The Holy Spirit changes the heart, and that changes the behavior. And that makes sure that your child gets into heaven. What about a spouse? I hate to tell everybody this, husbands and wives, it's never your job to punish your spouse. That's why God says your body belongs to him, his body belongs to you. Because God doesn't want you being a Jezebel and saying, well, I'll give you this if you give me that. God doesn't want manipulation and witchcraft in a marriage. So what do you do?